You'll open your Bibles to Luke in chapter 8. Starting in verse 4, we're going to look at the parable of the sower, or the parable of the soils. Thank you, Jared, for the prayer, and that phrase you used was so wonderful. Help us to be hungry with our ears. It fits right in such a wonderful way. The series that we're looking at has to do with the work of the church and the idea of spreading the gospel. And the title I put on this sermon was the idea of sowing indiscriminately. And the idea of sowing indiscriminately is in this parable. But I can't just read this parable and just deal with that one idea without dealing with the whole parable, because the whole parable is really, the bulk of the parable is dealing with being hungry with our ears. I will talk about sowing indiscriminately and how that fits in with this parable toward the end, and that will be part of our application. But I'd like to look at the whole parable. If we have ears, we have to hear. If we have mouths, we need to speak. Essentially, that's what it all boils down to. We need to be able to confess Jesus as our Lord. We need to be able to give an account of the hope that is in us. We need to be able to say that God has saved us, say that Jesus is Lord, and share with others the good news of Christ. We also need to be hungry with our ears in order to be saved, in order to remain saved. And this parable has a bit of both in. I first like to look at the parable itself and the idea of hearing, and then we'll look at it in the idea of being the sower rather than the receiver. In Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 4, when a large crowd was coming together and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it, and choked it out. Other seed fell on good soil, and grew up, and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said this, stop here, verse 8. As he said these things, he would call out. In other words, he said that phrase more than once during the course of this parable. We only have it recorded more than once. But as he was saying these things, in other words, he was punctuating his parable with this phrase, "You got ears, listen." Essentially, that's what he's saying. I mean, it sounds so nice and pious and religious, you know. He who has ears, let him hear. Hey, listen up. You got ears? That's essentially what Jesus was saying, all right? Listen, listen, listen. All the way through this, and he was saying, and he was talking about sowing seed. And people were scratching their heads. How do I know that people were scratching their heads? That's because of verse 9. Verse 9 says, his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. Did the disciples know what Jesus was getting at when he was talking about a sower sowing seed? No. Peter and James and John and Matthew and all those guys, they didn't have a clue. They were scratching their heads. They didn't know what was going on. And they went up to Jesus and said, "What do you mean by all of this stuff? We don't know. What do you think about the rest of the folks who sort of walked away? Do you think they understood it? Do you think they walked away because they understood it? Or do you think perhaps that maybe they just heard those words and they went, wonder what that was all about, and then just went home?" I get the impression from this that nobody really at that time knew what this was all about. Verse 10. And he said, Jesus said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Well, Jesus, what are you getting at? We don't understand. That's why we're asking you. And you saying it's been given to us to understand? Well, yes. Because you're the ones who are asking about it, aren't you? That's why. That's why it was granted to them to understand. Because the disciples were hungry to hear. And that's why I love that phrase. They were hungry to hear. Everybody heard the same words. But those who wanted to understand, those who wanted to hear, stuck around to find out what it meant. They didn't just want to hear the words or memorize the words, but they wanted to know what it meant. They wanted to sink into their hearts and do its work that God's word is supposed to do. And so they stuck around, and because they stuck around and they asked and they listened, it was granted to them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It wasn't some, God said, okay, you're going to find out because you're the select few and the rest of you, well, it's tough luck. It wasn't that way. It was those who had ears to hear who decided to hear. Those who were hungry to hear. Those who were hungry to say, what was all that about? I don't understand. I want to understand. Tell me more. Those were the ones who found out what the mysteries of God were all about. And just think about it. This whole parable, when he explains it, and we'll read the explanation, is about how different kinds of people hear God's word. Let's look in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Well, that was most of the people who walked away that day. The people who did not stick around here anymore. Oh, that's just a bunch of religious stuff, and who can understand that anyway? You ever have somebody, you talk to somebody, try to talk to somebody about Jesus, and they say, I can't understand the Bible. I'm not going to be bothered with that. Their ears aren't hungry. They aren't hungry to hear. They don't really want to hear. And the message bounces off their heads. It bounces off their ears. And it's the pathway that the seed gets trampled on and the birds go have a feast. Then, in verse 13, those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. And they believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. This is the kind of soil that's shallow. There's a bedrock underneath. There's stones underneath. And those areas where the roots go down, but they can't go down any further, they dry out quicker. And so when the heat of the day comes, they can't get enough moisture to stay alive. When there's a drought or anything like that, they die. And those are the people who don't let God's word sink deep into their hearts and deep into their lives. God will influence me this far and no further. In other words, I want to be saved. I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to wash away my sins. I want all the forgiveness. I want the eternal life. But there's an extent to which we're not going to let God go, because after that, he's not minding his own business anymore. You ever get that way with God sometimes? You ever see people get that way with God? I want the bennies, but I don't want the responsibilities. I want the benefits. I don't want the obligation. I really don't want God's word to change me. I just want him to make me feel good. A lot of times, people aren't really hungry to hear. They're hungry to hear the good parts. They're hungry to hear the parts that they like, but they don't let God's word transform them. And that's what God's word is meant to do. God's word is meant to sink itself deep in our hearts and change the way we think and the way we act. It's supposed to sink down and start bearing fruit in every aspect of our lives. All of us have troubles that way, don't we? I mean, we'll come up to something, and then all of a sudden something that you realized is sin, but you'd been doing, you didn't realize quite that it was sin, or you had your own excuses, and then God was bumping you around until finally you had to recognize it. and say, you know, I got to do something about this or deny Jesus. You know, there's God with the dynamite trying to break the soil up. And we're going to decide whether we're going to let our roots of faith go deeper, or are we just going to have that shallow soil and get swept away when the drought comes. It happens, doesn't it? And we've seen people who joyfully accept God's word but don't last because they haven't let themselves be changed enough by God's word. So far, but no further. I'll let you into my living room, God, but I won't let you have the rest of my house. Isn't that the way it is sometimes? And this is one of the ways that people hear. They become Christians, they become disciples, but they don't let Christ have his way with them all the way. Then there's the seed that fell around the sore among the thorns. And presumably, it doesn't say, it may be among the thorn seeds that came up with the crop. But we don't know. Verse 14, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Here's a case where the roots do go down deep, and God does influence our lives, but we start to get distracted by other things, by worries and concerns of this world, by the troubles that we have, and the struggles that we have with other people, and the economic situation, and our worries and our desires for other things. And so we become divided in heart, and we get choked out. Our faith gets choked out, and we don't bear fruit. And this is what Jesus is describing of some kinds of soil. We have to be singularly dedicated to letting God work in our lives and not let our hearts become divided or distracted in our hearing God's word, in our hunger for God's word. And so the seed which fell among the thorns, they're the ones that all get choked out. And then verse 15, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. We want to be the good soil, don't we? To be the good soil just means persistently hearing, hungering for God's word, and allowing it to have its way in our lives, doesn't it? Isn't it a matter of being focused on what God wants, focused on God's kingdom and his righteousness, and then as we discover what he wants, responding to it? Isn't that essentially what Jesus is talking about here? Yeah. Notice in this parable, there are four groups. Now, one of the groups doesn't respond at all to God's word. It just bounces off. They're like the people who walked away, said, what in the world is Jesus talking about? I don't know. Do you say, I'm going to go. And they didn't listen. The disciples, they stuck around and say, hey, Lord, what was this all about? Nobody understood it, but the disciples had a hunger to hear. And then Jesus gave the explanation. And so the remaining three soils are folks that are right here. There are folks who have become disciples, who have received God's word with joy, but for some reason or other may not respond all of the way. And so the remaining three types of soils are, look around. Here we are. I mean, we have new folks in Christ whose roots aren't very deep, and we don't know how deep they're going to go. Will they be rocky soil, or will they be fertile soil? Well, it's up to them. It's up to me. It's up to you. Are we going to be crowded out by weeds? Or are we going to be good soil? It all involves how well we hear, how well we listen, how are we hungry to hear. And that's our job. Each one of us individually. I can't hear for you. You can't hear for me. I have to hear for myself. I have to have my own desire for God's righteousness. I have my own desire to understand God's word. I have to ask my own questions of God. I have to yearn to understand for myself what God's word is all about and how He wants me to live. And I have to surrender my own heart to Him. And nobody can do that for me but me. And nobody can do it for you but you. And this leads into the main point I wanted to make as far as the evangelism goes. But this stuff, this first stuff is really important, isn't it? I mean, hey, you know, let's get focused on doing what God wants. Let's get focused on having the heart of Christ. Because only we can do it. There's nothing an elder, a preacher, or anybody could say to anybody else in the congregation to force you to accept God's word. I can't force you to forgive somebody else. I can't force you to give up a sin. I might be able to try to persuade you. I might be able to point some things out. I might be able to coach you. But deep down, it all depends on how hungry you are to hear it and how hungry you are to do it. Isn't that the way it works, really? I mean, if you don't know, be a parent and see how well it works to try to micromanage your kid's life. It doesn't. I mean, a certain amount of discipline you can do all along, but as they grow up, they have to hunger for God eventually, don't they? Now, so that's the hearing part, and that was the most important part. Jesus was saying, hey, you got ears here, listen up. You got ears here, listen up. You got ears here, listen up. Over and over and over again. Important. For the sake of spreading the word, you've got a mouth, you need to speak. When we speak, we need to spread God's word indiscriminately. And what I mean by that is what the sower was doing. Where did the seed land? The seed landed everywhere, right? It landed on the path, it landed on the rocky soil, it landed in the thorny soil, and it landed in the good soil. He was broadcasting the seed. And he was broadcasting the seed indiscriminately. And it's important for us to remember that when we share God's word. All too often, we just think about our little circle of friends and family. And if only I could implant the seed in them. And it's sort of like we're planting squash. Okay? You're going to grow some squash. You dig in one section and you fertilize it. And then you put your six seeds in a mound, you know, in a circle on the top of the mound. And each seed has its own place. And you know what the soil is like because you all fussed with it. And we want to do that with an immediate circle of friends. And that's okay. I mean, that's fine. I mean, certainly do it, you know. Do what you can to help friends and family come to the Lord. But it's not the image that Jesus is painting here. The image that Jesus is painting here is God's word is meant to go out all over the place without regard of whether you think it's going to work or not. And as a matter of fact, it's probably not going to work a lot. Not because the seed is bad, but because the soil isn't good. We are in the church as part of the idea of spreading the gospel, broadcasting seed. We're not just, you know, putting a seed here and a seed there. We're broadcasting the seed. It's not my job. It's not my job to force somebody into the baptistry. If I had to force somebody in the baptistry, then they're not saved anyway. Because it's an act of faith, right? You're raised through faith in the working of God. If you don't believe what God's doing when you're baptized, it isn't the baptism. You can't force somebody to believe. You can't force a result. You can't force somebody to bear fruit. All you can do is provide the seed that can be received and listened to and cause the growth. And then cause the fruit. We can broadcast the seed, and that's all we can do. I have no way of telling, and you have no way of telling, if you share the good news of Jesus with somebody, whether they're going to be a faithful Christian 3 years after they're baptized. You don't know. You don't know whether they will live their entire life in faithfulness and fruitfulness to God, or whether they'll fall by the wayside immediately, or they'll be fruitful and faithful for a while and then collapse halfway through, as in thorny ground. We don't know that. But we do know that God's word has power, and that power will work for those who are hungry to hear. And if people are hungry to hear, they need to hear. And if they need to hear, we need to speak. And that's the point. Now, what we did, I've been encouraging us in various ways. Now, 2 weeks from today, we're having a potluck. It's not going to be a second Sunday potluck. It's going to be a bring your neighbor potluck. It's going to be a bring your neighbor day. Next week is Mother's Day. Remember your mothers and your wives. Do something special. We don't have potluck then. But 2 weeks from today, it's Bring Your Neighbor Day. Ask somebody. Think about people to ask. Think about people that you can share Jesus with. Think about, one of the assignments was, what does Jesus mean to you? What does Jesus mean to you? And this is an example of the soils and how it all fits in. You think about the path. Have any of you seen an asphalt, maybe you have one, an asphalt driveway, right? It has a crack in it, and there's a dandelion growing out of the crack. Have you ever seen that? I mean, it's an asphalt driveway, and a dandelion seed got in there somehow, and now you got this dandelion sticking out of your driveway. And guess what's going to happen? If you don't get the Roundup out real soon, you're going to have a grassy patch right in the middle of your driveway. Well, you think about a path that you walk on through a field. It may be a well-worn path, and it's mostly dirt, but every now and then there's going to be clumps of grass sticking up, right? I mean, isn't that the way it works? You don't know when you cast seed whether it's going to stick and grow or not, even on an asphalt driveway. How much more so with God's word? You do not know. So what I'm saying is, so indiscriminately, I don't mean don't use your brain. What I'm saying is, don't start to say, well, I better not say anything to him because he's going to say no anyway. That's discrimination. Whatever form it takes, whatever form discrimination takes, if we're starting to say, well, I'm not going to bother saying anything to so-and-so because he's going to say no anyway because, well, maybe it's because he's rich and he has no need of anything. Maybe, or maybe his heart is breaking and he isn't showing anybody. Maybe he's found out that his riches aren't the source of happiness, and maybe he's ready to commit suicide that night. You don't know. Oh, I won't share with this person because he's got an alcohol problem. Or I won't share with this person because he's too hardened and he's too rough and grump. You don't know. You don't know what's going on inside another person's heart. If you get a chance to say something to somebody good about Jesus, say it. And if it bounces off their head and say, oh, go away with your religious bunk, well, you know that you hit some hard soil, and try again some other time if you get a chance. But you don't know. You just don't know. What would happen? What would have happened to the woman at the well? We're going to look at that tonight. The woman at the well. I mean, she had five husbands, and the woman and the guy she was living with wasn't her husband. And she had a bad reputation in town, probably a broken life. And she was a Samaritan. What are the prospects of sowing any seed with her? Oh, don't bother. She's too far gone. That's what the Pharisees would have thought, right? Jesus talks to her. Jesus talks to her about spiritual things and awakens things in her heart and her mind that other people would not have seen. I studied with a lady years and years ago, and she had a husband who was sort of a rough, gruff type. He was a construction millwright. He used to install many-ton machines in factories, and he was an ex-sergeant in the Army. And, I mean, you know, real roundhouse of a guy, macho man kind of guy, and he'd asked me these challenging questions in the midst of the study I was having with his wife. You mean this? You know? And I could have just said, well, forget this. He's just too ornery. But the questions he asked, even though they were ornery questions, I could tell he wanted to know. And that's the secret. Questions aren't bad, even if they're slightly hostile. If the questions being asked are genuinely asked. I want to know, how come there is evil in this world? If you think God is right, tell me. That isn't necessarily a put-off kind of question. It may be a genuine question. It might be, hey, I can't believe until I get an answer for this, and I'm struggling with it. And if you're anxious to hear, even though the guy looks like he's going to knock your block off, maybe he isn't. Maybe he really wants to know. Give him an answer. If he goes, oh, fooey, get away from me, well, then you got your answer, right? Then you knew the soil wasn't fertile. But you don't know. This guy, who started asking me these questions, he ended up being a preacher. Who'd have guessed? So don't say, well, this guy's too educated. This guy's too dumb. This guy doesn't smell so good. This guy, this guy doesn't have a house. This, you know, don't do that. Jesus died for him. That's all you need to know. And they need the stuff that we have to share. That's all we have to know. And so, if you have in your heart, well, this is what Jesus means to me, and you talk to somebody and they're starting to say, I just don't know what to do in my life. I don't have any direction. Well, did Jesus give you some direction in life? Well, you got a reason to talk to that person. I'm at the end of my rope. I don't have any hope. What use is there living? Did Jesus give you any hope? Well, you have a reason to talk to them about Jesus. There are all sorts. I just feel so bad. I can't get rid of this guilt. I feel horrible about myself all the time. I just can't deal with it anymore. What did Jesus do for your guilt? We have opportunities, and sometimes we just don't see them. And so we need to be looking for those things. There are cracks in the pavement. Even though sometimes people may look like they're hard soil, they may not be. So just pray for an open door for God's word, as we talked about before. Be aware of what Jesus means to you, and then relate to other people as you see the same kind of needs in their life pop up. And you can speak God's word. And sow wherever you can sow. It doesn't matter what background they are. You never know. You never, ever know. Today's reprobate may be tomorrow's elder. You don't know. So sow indiscriminately, sow abundantly. So, because it's so important for people to hear God's word and respond to it. And of course, while we're sowing, we have to be hearing. While we're sowing, we have to be listening to God so that what we're sowing is right. And the example we're setting is right too. That's my challenge for us. Think about these things as you go through the week. Think about people that you can invite. Think about ways that you can let God's word work deeper in your heart. If there are any things that are restraining you from doing what He wants you to do, if you want to come forward and ask for the prayers of the saints, you want to put the Lord on in baptism, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Christ.